click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Now, if you know anything about the ongoing developments of how South Africa is a key global counterpart, given our leadership of the G20, you'd be well aware that the G20 itself also has several streams aligned to it. In order to make sure that the globe does prosper, our people, our economies, our policies need to be aligned, or at least tapping and pulling into key levers that can help us propel the growth that we need. The business community in South Africa has certainly heeded the call to make sure that they lend their voice and contribute to these particular outcomes under the establishment of the B20. It's led by BUSA, Business Unity South Africa, and through 8 different task forces, they've been able to hold a wide variety of conversations to share policy recommendations that have today been shared with the G20 presidency to ensure that there's a clear understanding of how business is lending its voice to the structure and policy formations that in itself can translate into a heightened level of investment made by members of the business community. To tell us more about this is Mr. Cass Kovadian. He is the B20 South Africa Sherpa to give us more insight. Cass, good to touch base with you again. It's been a busy day this morning, and I was excited to be part of the excitement to witness the outcomes of the B20 recommendations. But for those who aren't familiar with these recommendations and the establishment of B20, a gentle reminder as to why this matters, especially at a global scale.
Google, thanks. And thanks for having me. And thanks for being there this morning and facilitating. Sure. Well, great.
Thank you.
So just a very quick rundown on B20. The B20 is the official business stream of the G20. Although we work fairly independently, but it is the official business stream of the G20. And we bring together over 1,000 C-suite business leaders from the G20 countries, as well as from other countries on the continent. We've had them in 8 task forces chaired by South African CEOs, and we've been very fortunate in pulling together, as you said this morning, the bomb squad of CEOs to lead these task forces. And the task forces come out with policy recommendations, which we hand over to the G20 as we did today. And we will then use the next 2 months to lobby for these recommendations, to promote them so that as many of these get into the G20 communique, which will be talked to at the G20 summit in November.
And you're quite right. It's been a long road in terms of gathering much of this knowledge and insight. And many people might not be aware that this is not just a group of C-suite executives based in South Africa, drawing thumb-sucking some solutions as to this is what we need, this is what we want, this is how we do it. There's been a lot of consideration as to how these recommendations have been formulated. And I think it's important for us to underscore that, the level of engagement, the key partnerships, and of course, even ensuring that these are actionable items that can be measured once implemented.
Absolutely. So one of the problems with the B20 has been that these discussions happen every year under a different country, and then recommendations get handed over and nobody actually tracks what happens and whether there's any impact from that, because neither the B20 nor the G20 has a permanent secretary. What we're trying this year is, and we've spoken to our predecessors, Brazil, we're speaking to the American Chamber of Commerce, to whom we hand over in Washington, and we're waiting for the 2027 host to be announced. We'll speak to them to see if we can, between amongst 3 or 4 host countries, pull together some sort of mechanism to track these recommendations, whether they are being implemented, and if they're not being implemented, why, what impact it's having, because B20 represents business and business wants to see implementation and impact.
Yeah.
And so we're going to try and do that to see what the impact is. And if there isn't an impact, then to come back and say, what do we do differently? And we hope we will be successful in doing that. And we have also, from the outset, we've been clear that we will fashion these recommendations in a way that it says, here's the recommendation, this is what needs to be implemented over this period of time. And if it's implemented, this will be the outcome and the impact, so that we can actually have something to measure to. And that's how we fashion these recommendations. And certainly in my discussions, even after the formal session this morning with the minister at Durco, he's quite keen to work with us to see if we can actually promote these recommendations.
100%. And that's exactly what's needed, right? Making sure that we do have active participation to measure these particular outcomes. There are 8 task forces, as you've mentioned, and I had a wonderful opportunity to hear very briefly from all of them what key insights they had to share. Well aware that there's well over 30 recommendations in terms of the final report, but there's a golden thread to all of them, largely focused on women in business, entrepreneurs as well, in SMMEs, and of course the prioritization of our people in terms of upskilling them. I know we can't go through the list of all 30, but maybe talk to us about the golden thread and theme that speaks to all the task forces and their priority points.
Well, the B20 theme is inclusive growth and prosperity through a cooperative and collaborating world. That's our theme. And so all the task forces are talking to that theme. So the overall sort of idea is that we put Africa at the center of the B20. We're looking at financing of infrastructure. We're looking at open trade through collaboration and through multilateral institutions. Absolutely clear that multilateral institutions need to be reconfigured to represent the current state of global economics, the global south and so on. But multilateral institutions are still important and we must use them. We absolutely clear that Africa has the resources, the skills, the minerals to actually contribute to addressing significant challenges that the world has. So Africa, if properly handled and properly resourced, can be the food basket for the world.
Yep.
Can address the food insecurity problems of the world. We have a young population, if properly skilled, can address the employment issues in the world at the time when countries to the north, their working age, work populations are actually decreasing because of ageism in those countries. Mm-hmm. We have minerals on the continent that can be processed to actually contribute to make batteries, to contribute to AI, to contribute to digitalization. And so the message we're sending out is that investing in Africa is not just for Africa's growth and development, but it's for the world and similarly in countries to the south. So that's the overall message. And one of our chairs, when asked at the panel this morning, as you would recall, said that this is about humanity. It's about inclusive economies that create prosperity for the majority of people in our countries. Because otherwise, if we don't do that, the economy and economic growth is not sustainable.
100%. Really keeping humanity at the center of it all to make sure that we can achieve many of these outcomes. Something else that was mentioned this morning, Mr. Kuvadia, was implementation speedily, because the world is ever evolving. Things are changing. And if we're going to make mistakes, we need to make them quickly, fail fast and learn and change and shift in terms of implementation. And of course, learn and reap the outcomes that we look to achieve. I guess as I mentioned that, I'm trying to interlink this with an understanding for, you know, the G20 nations and key partners as well to, you know, pay greater attention to these recommendations and fully understand how we do, you know, enhance the level of lobbying for the adoption of these policy recommendations.
We formed 2 structures under the B20. One is the local business advisory council made up of critical CEOs in the country, and we will activate that to advocate to our government. And so it's critical CEOs, the likes of Nazita Fakodi and the likes of Martin Kingston and Adrian Gore and others. And then we formed an international business advisory caucus, which has global CEOs and past chairs of B20s. And we will utilize that to lobby to G20 other countries. But we're also using global fora. So I was at SICAD, in Taiked in Japan a couple of weeks ago and participated in 3 panels there talking to these recommendations. I was at the Africa Conclave in India recently, again, talking to these. We will be going to New York and have a number of events on the sidelines of the United Nations General Assembly, and we will be propagating there. So we'll be using all sorts of fora and events to actually talk to this, to lobby for this, and to advocate for these recommendations.
100%. That's where the hard work begins now for you and your colleagues and counterparts to make sure that there's buy-in and partnership here. To close off with, Mr. Kuvadia, for you and I and many other business executives that we speak to here on the show, there's a very clear understanding as to why this matters. For South Africans who might log on to the B20 South African website, actually download and read the final paper recommendations, help us understand why this matters to us.
Well, I think one of the critical things, and we've been talking to organizations like BUSA and others about this. So a lot of research, a lot of experience, a lot of preparation, a lot of knowledge from the G20 countries has gone into the development of these recommendations. This will all be available to our country. This will all be archived here. The trick here is, can we use all of that to actually make progress in some of the challenges we have in our country?
Mm.
So all the work we're doing on SME development, the experiences we've gained from the G20 countries and from other parts of Africa, the research that's backing up recommendations on SME development, we should be using that to actually break through what seems to be a barrier to actually SME growth and development in South Africa.
Yep.
Similarly, what the work that we've done on employment and education in that task force and learned from G20 countries, we must apply that to crack through the education problems in our country and on the continent. So we don't have to wait for these recommendations to be implemented by G20 governments or multilateral institutions.
Yes.
We can use all that knowledge to actually do things in our own country. And I think that's where the real legacy of the B20 comes in.
100%. Using the global networks and insight and intellect that we've been able to gather and implementing it at a local level. Not only making it relevant to our people, but also then enhancing our competitiveness at a global scale.
Absolutely.
Indeed. Yeah. Mr. Kuvadia, always a pleasure speaking to you, sir. All the best as we make our way to November and continue to engage. And again, South Africans can download the recommendations on the B20 website.
On the B20 website, Thank you, Google.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
That is the B20 South Africa, Sherpa Kaz Kuvadia, helping us understand the B20 recommendations that have been submitted to the G20 this morning. It was a packed affair, I must tell you. CEOs galore. And for someone like myself, I literally felt like a kid in a candy store, because everywhere you looked, there was some executive from a business, an institution, an organization that you and I would interact with through their products, their services, their companies, their resources, and typically interview as well when it comes to company results here on the show. So if anything, this matters. Think of it this way. Business has literally said, here's the blueprint to make sure that we can continue investing, not only in our local economy, but even in the markets that are our global peers and counterparts.
Kaya Biz with Google Tumfupi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.